This is the European edition of Breaking Banks, the world's number one fintech podcast and radio show. We bring you the European unicorns, startups, founders, regulators, and leaders innovating the rapidly evolving fintech scene today. A truly localized podcast with both English and local language content with some of the world's most well-known hosts and influencers in the fintech sector globally. Join us every week as we explore what makes the European Union a phenomenal proving ground for many of the fastest growing fintech plays in the world today. Okay, let's roll.
Hello guys, welcome back to Breaking Banks Europe. My name is Matteo Rizzi. I'm the executive producer of the show. This is the first show I'm recording this year in 2021, and I'm super happy to actually launch a new format called Breaking Leaders. And I have the honor to have with me the first leaders guest of this new format, Mr. Pierre Gramegna, Minister of Finance, Luxembourg. Pierre, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be the first one in Breaking Leaders and to be the first one in 2021. Let me wish you and all watchers all the best for 2021, hoping that we'll have a little bit more of a normal year than 2020.
Indeed. So, Pierre, our history goes back in 2016, you know, where you certainly remember. Yes. We launched the FinTech Stage in Luxembourg in 2016. You know, huge success, 500 or 600 people attending. And that was at the beginning of an incredible journey that basically brought Luxembourg in the main spot of the European FinTech scene. So this is the sort of the story that we want to tell today to start with. Why don't you tell us a little bit, since this is, you know, it was in, you were at the beginning, you know, at the center of it, together with Nicola Makel, our friend that we also know very well. How was it? How was the beginning? Tell us a little bit, you know, back 5 years ago, what was in your head and how did you make it happen?
Yes, Matteo, I have a very good remembrance of the FinTech Stage we did together 5 years ago. And at that time, I remember that quite a few people who were not there, whom I saw in the days before and after, were a little bit intrigued when I told them that we were focusing on FinTech in Luxembourg. They were intrigued because they barely knew the name FinTech and were a little bit, not worried, but surprised. And I always told them the story that Luxembourg was already doing FinTech without knowing it, having had the chance to have precursors or pioneers like payment companies that have established in Luxembourg already before 2010. I think obviously of PayPal and quite a few others. And in the meantime, we have become a hub for e-payment. But then people started to have a more positive approach because it was something they could relate to. And the second thing which happened after we had this successful event was that together with Nicolas Makel, who is the head of Luxembourg for Finance, we both decided to start an initiative, a public-private initiative, and that's how we launched the Luxembourg House of Financial Technologies, which came into life a year later in 2017.
With my other good friend, Nazir, of course.
Yes, with Nazir Soubairi, who we hired then. And obviously that was a great choice because he was so well known in the fintech world, having had jobs in London and Berlin, mostly in this area. And so obviously he helped us have a wonderful kickstart. And if I look back on the Luxembourg House of Financial Technologies today, we have 75 fintech companies that are present there. So they rent space in what you could call a kind of accelerator, which is the loft, the Luxembourg House of Financial Technologies on the one hand. But we have also roughly the same number, around 70 companies that are connected, that are member of the loft. And what is really important is to understand that the fintech world is a community. It is something that I didn't know so well in the beginning, which I discovered over the years. These companies love to work together, to find new solutions together. So obviously, some of them are in competition, but many of them try to work together to find new solutions, better solutions. And the other thing, which for me was key, was that how can we bring traditional players on board? How can we have the larger banks or financial institutions that are not at all in fintech or are not interested in it or are underestimating it? How can we get them on board, have them work with fintech companies? And that has, I think, been one of the success stories that we managed to do that. So the initial founders, which were 14, we have traditional players in that and new ones, newcomers, and that's what makes Luxembourg, I think, rather special, trying to bridge the gap between the old school and the new school and showing that the two are complementary, that they can work together. They are sometimes competitors, but sometimes partners, and sometimes they just work out new solutions for the customer, and that's what we want.
If I may, how did you see the evolution of the mindset, you know, especially, you know, for the incumbents that are now certainly more open and willingness to this collaboration with the fintechs evolving in these past 5 years?
I think there's a couple of things one should say here. In the beginning, it's often the case that when something is new, people tell you, the competitors tell you who are more on the traditional side, tell you it's not going to work. The new systems are not going to work. And so they try to discourage me and others to even embrace or look into that in the fintech, saying it's no use. And when hundreds of people of the traditional area keep on telling you it's not going to work, then is when you really should get interested. Because if they keep on telling you it's not working, it's because they're afraid of competition. So that's the first thing. So that's the first stage. Then comes stage number two, where the traditional players tell you, well, you know, we need to get to know them better. And they only say that because they've realized the other key thing is that you cannot stop progress and innovation. And if the consumer, the customer, can have a better service, faster and cheaper, it will happen. And the customer is not asking you, are you a big traditional bank? Are you a big player? If they are told you can send your money in a couple of seconds digitally somewhere from a digital account to another digital account, and otherwise it would take you a week to know where the money you have sent has arrived, this is such a game changer that obviously everybody realizes that this is key. Now I'm focusing on payment in my example. But the third part, so one was it's not going to work. Two is focus on the customer, so it's happening. The third thing is cost reduction. And some of the major changes that fintech is bringing is cost reduction, because we use artificial intelligence, we use blockchain, we use data. We use the infrastructure which is already there. Think, for example, in Luxembourg, we were precursors in investing a lot in data centers, in fiber optics. We have one of the lowest latency rates in the world. So many customers came to us already a couple of years ago saying, because you have that low latency rate, that's why we chose Luxembourg. At a time where nobody, apart from specialists, knew what latency rates are about and what they mean. Now, in the world of movies, they know exactly what it is, because if you want to transmit movies, you need very fast data transmission. But in the world of finance, not so many were so keen to see how important that is. So I think that's the third part, efficiency and cost reduction, which have now moved more center stage.
And what is what are the innovation areas that you guys decided to focus on? You know, because of course Luxembourg is it's in a pivotal position, not only geographically but also in terms of how the regulators are looking at. And you mentioned the fund distribution, you mentioned blockchain. I know that there is a new, but we will talk about it later, the whole like a sustainable finance and ESG program that you guys launched. How did you decide naturally what the focus of the different innovation areas should have been?
Well, I think we were very pragmatic, as we very often are in Luxembourg. We looked at, we x-rayed what sectors, what parts of the financial services industry were strong in Luxembourg. And it was the fund industry, first, because we are, after the United States, the largest investment fund place in the world with assets under management of 4,800 billion euro, which is more than $5 trillion. So obviously there we had a lot of know-how, and there the potential that fintech would bring, the potential of innovation, was obviously strong. The other one is obviously wealth management, where we are also a strong player, especially now also in the context of Brexit, where quite a few major actors that had little presence physically in the EU, and knowing that they would lose the general automatic access to the EU single market, many players decided to centralize their European operations of wealth management in Luxembourg. So wealth management was the one, the other one, and then corporate banking, and certainly, last but not least, capital markets and the stock exchange. So these were the four areas where we are strong. And so very naturally, the fintech companies that got interested in Luxembourg easily built an interaction with those players, as we see that in the Luxembourg House of Fintech. Now, if I do a survey a little bit of the types of companies that are in the loft, we have in the field of fund tech lots of players. And then, and you mentioned it, a lot of players in the payment sector, but then also very interesting in the insurance business. InsurTech is becoming more and more important. And then something which is very interesting on the regulatory side and on the cost-saving side is what is called RegTech. Now, maybe I can really hear underline something. Obviously, the way we as government look at regulation is the following. In the past, many years ago, I would get very often comments that, well, in terms of regulation, Luxembourg is very flexible, very fast, and that's why we come to Luxembourg. That's not what the players look for today. After the crisis of 2008, what all the players want is a regulator who is knowledgeable about the latest developments and make sure that the license that you get is worth a lot. That means it's not easy to get. So I get sometimes comments now, oh, it's much more slow than it used to be. Well, I say the regulation since 2008 has increased a lot for all players. And so we need to make sure to be smart and fast. Make sure that the license you get is a serious one. And we have also a regulator that has innovated a lot over the years. We have also doubled the number of employees at the CSSF, which is the regulator for the bank. Then we have also a regulator, a specific one for insurance, who's separate. And in the bank regulation field, we have now close to 1,000 people working. So even in absolute terms, this is a high commitment. And thanks to that, and the fact that the regulator is innovative, I think we've been quite good in RegTech. We were, for example, the first country to issue a kind of practice or regulation, internal recommendation, that if you are in cryptocurrencies or in virtual currencies, you're negotiating those, you're using those, you need a license in Luxembourg since 2015. It was not foreseen in most countries because it was a kind of gray zone. Nobody really knew how to deal with it. And we say when you transform digital currencies into fiat currencies, I mean traditional currency, well, then you come in the remit of traditional currency. So you need to fulfill the same conditions and so I think RegTech is also very interesting. Now, so these are fields. Now, what lies behind is technology. It's digital ledger technology. It's blockchain. It's artificial intelligence. It's cybersecurity, and it's obviously having a data center like we have one or many data centers that give you the necessary support to develop your product. I think that would be a fair summary of what we've seen.
What is incredible, Pierre, is that you are one of the most knowledgeable minister, man of government, you know, that knows about technology and fintech. And, you know, I wish the world was, you know, had many more politicians like you that knows about, you know, business and innovation and technology. And actually, I wanted to ask you a specific question on your role as the promoter of the technology also outside of Luxembourg, right? Because, you know, like Israel, you know, a super innovative place, startups in Israel, they are maybe headquartering in Israel or in Tel Aviv, but their market is the world, right? Because the typical Israel would be a too small market for their solution. Same thing for Luxembourg. And I believe that there is a super important role, which I'm pretty sure you play a major part of, which is how do we make sure that your innovation is exported and is sold abroad? And I'm pretty sure that Nazir is also doing an amazing job because the Loft has done a lot of partnership, you know, and agreements and MOUs around the world. But what is your role? I mean, how do you sell your own innovation when you talk with your peers around the world?
Well, it's obvious that because for Luxembourg, the financial services industry is so important, there is few ministers of finance that devotes as much time as I do in promoting the financial center of Luxembourg, but also going more deeply into the strategy of the future, the need for innovation as I do. For example, at the EU level, there's been an awakening only recently about the need to focus more on it. Now, some might be worried that if I say EU directives, regulations, it's going to be more cumbersome, more complicated. But on the other hand, I say if we look back in 2005, when the European Union issued the UCITS directive, the one that allows that gives a framework, a common framework for investment funds at the EU level. And this was, yes, a complicated regulation, but it became the world standard because it is so difficult to agree on such financial products. And that very few areas in the world can agree on something. Everybody has his national regulation. Now, the United States is a big market itself. They have their own regulation. In fact, access is very difficult in that market. But in Asia, for example, they use Luxembourg UCITS quite a lot. So In the same vein, I would say that what we're working on now in Europe is in also in giving a framework to virtual currencies, for example, on the distributed ledger technologies and all this, which is good because we will be the first ones to give a framework. Now, if it isn't smartly done, it is that framework that others are going to copy or also use. So that's why I follow this very, very closely. And as I mentioned before, with the bank regulator in Luxembourg, CSSF, that did some interpretation in direction of using certain frameworks that we have already available, you are in fact innovating in RegTech. That's what that is what we're doing. Last but not least, I think we have to reconciliate customers with finance. You know, in many countries, the image of the financial players is negative because of scandals that have happened because of the financial crisis of 2008. Now, in 2020, the crisis that we have witnessed, the economic crisis, comes because of the pandemic, because of the COVID. And we realize that the changes that have been done since 2008 in financial regulation worldwide, and in particular in the EU, makes it that today, financial sector, financial players, banks, and others are a part of the solution. They are not a part of the problem. And I think fintech companies are often, obviously, spring up startups of young people, bring this kind of rejuvenation of technology, innovation with it, but they also bring a nicer image, a modern image to financial services. What would we be without finance? The world cannot function without currencies, without payments. So I see a very nice development here that has not really been seen or described up to now so much, because those who are in fintech on an everyday basis, they do not think of the image of fintech, they think of their company. But if you look at this at a more macroeconomic level, we have here something which is a kind of game changer in terms of image, and also, and that's something that we might talk about a little bit later, the link between fintech, digitalization, and green finance. Also, this is changing the image of finance. Now, think of it. When we speak of climate change, the young generation is much more sensitive to this topic than the older one. Although, I must say, for me, one of the biggest recognitions or lessons that we have to draw from the pandemic is that climate skeptics were wrong, because we've had a life-size test of what happens when human activity when we have lockdowns. What is happening? Well, the rivers have clean water again, nature is breathing better, trees look better, and so on and so on. So those who said it's not the human being that provokes the climate change, it's a very natural phenomenon, have been proven wrong. So also here, I think it is so important to realize that if we want to act for climate change, there's a lot of things we have to do which are in direct connection with nature. But what we need to do is not only in the remit of public and of governance, is also for private investors. And how can we get the private investors to do more? Well, by focusing also on green finance. So I think this whole image discussion around finance is a very interesting one, which I think in the future we could talk a lot about.
Definitely. And actually, we will get into the ESG and sustainable finance and the finance and green finance in a minute. I just want you if it's possible, for you to focus a little bit more into how you perceive the Luxembourg ecosystem being resilient, you know, during this pandemic. Because resilience is something that it has almost the mantra, right, for 2020, where, you know, economy has been stressed, small and medium business have been impacted. How have you seen your own ecosystem react to this pandemic? Because you were at the center of it, right? You were certainly part of the ones who spent more time in thinking about solutions to counter it.
Yeah, it's very important to discuss this. I just mentioned that we had a life-size test about the importance of climate change and the human impact on climate change. The other one is that because of the pandemic, in a matter of days and weeks, all companies had to focus on remote working, which many had as a matter of fact as a kind of emergency plan that they had to roll out very quickly. So the good news was and is that especially in the financial sector, financial services sector at large, remote work can do a lot. Yeah. In fact, isn't fintech a part of the solution here? Yes, obviously, because fintech is about technology, about digitalization and so on, about artificial intelligence and so on. So it's an obvious one, but to have to roll it out in a minute was not an obvious thing. Now, I don't know if in other countries it went as smoothly as it went in Luxembourg, and it was especially key for financial services, which is 30% of our economy. So basically, banks, funds, fintech companies told me, you know, we've been able to work as if there were no pandemic. As if, obviously, it's an illusion, but you could really do your business to a very large extent. And so that, I think, is a game changer for the future. Now, the more the pandemic lasts and the lockdowns and the confinements and limits of doing business traditional way and going into shops, the more it lasts, the more we also see the psychological effect of this. And in the end, many tell me now, you know, I'm getting really tired of doing everything remote. I want to see people. I want to interact. And the philosophy here, I think, is, with people you know well, with whom you have worked over months and years, it's easier to work remote. But if you want to launch new projects, if you want to innovate, at one point in time, you need to meet the people. You have to have a couple of people, many people around one table, throwing their ideas on the table. And remotely is complicated. So that is also a lesson I draw from the pandemic. Last but not least, I said it before, we have realized that the changes we did in financial regulations at the EU level and world level have fortunately highlighted that the banks are in better shape today, that financial players are in better shape, that the investment fund industry is extremely resilient, protects investors well, that we have a better financial stability. So luckily, at least with all the problems that we had, the financial sector worldwide has continued to work more or less reasonably. And that has been a stabilizing factor, obviously, in this situation. Last but not least on this topic, let's not underestimate it. Because of the economic crisis, we will have probably during this year and next year more companies that will fail. And so we will have more non-performing loans issues. But I think to an extent that the system can cope with.
Pierre, as a last question, I really would like you to talk a little bit more into this multi-year program that Luxembourg has undertaken in terms of promoting ESG investments and sustainable finance. We only have less than 5 minutes, but I believe it is an extremely important message that you guys as a main financial players are actually giving to what's important and where it's important to focus.
Yeah, it's good we have a couple of minutes to address that. The first green bond was issued in 2007, if I'm not mistaken, by the European Investment Bank. That's only 13 years ago. That's very close to today. So you see, the idea is very new. The Luxembourg stock exchange set up a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago, the Luxembourg Green Exchange, which specializes and focuses on the listing of green bonds only, and today has more than half of the share worldwide of green bonds listed at its green exchange. So we've had actors playing a role here. The European Investment Bank is obviously a European institution headquartered in Luxembourg. And building on that, we have developed the whole strategy on sustainable finance. We also innovated here with the European Investment Bank by creating a platform, a common platform where we do together, the European Investment Bank and Luxembourg government, Luxembourg state, de-risking of green projects, de-risking, so financing projects that otherwise would not have been possible and that are good for climate change and so on. And we are rolling out this strategy. We will announce that next month, in fact, together with the Minister of Environment, with whom I have worked since years now on this. The Minister of Environment in charge of climate also tells me that she has lots of comments from her colleagues in other countries saying how lucky you are that your finance minister talks with you and works with you, because in most countries this is not really happening. So I'm very glad about this cooperation. And we have issued a paper that we're going to present in a couple of weeks. Now, the last thing that I would like to highlight is that we issued as a government in September last year, the first sustainable bond issued in Europe and the first issued by a AAA country. So a sustainable bond that is focusing on financing climate change projects, green projects on the one hand, and also social projects in the meantime. So having both aspects, social and green at the same time. And we have set up a framework, a reference framework that could be used by other countries and which I hope also the EU Commission is going to look at. And so I encourage those who are interested in it and listening to us today in this podcast to have a look in that framework that we have issued, because let's not forget, in ESG, you have the economy, you have the social, you have the governments, you have all the things together. And as we have seen, for example, when we set up beginning of January a CO2 tax, a carbon tax in Luxembourg, setting up a new tax is never very popular. We have also alleviated the burden for low-income people. So I think that social and green need to go together. That's one of the lessons of the last years, and that's why we wanted to set up such a framework. And I hope that we will be considered as a trendsetter in this area.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pierre, thank you very much for being with us today. I actually want to finish this interview with a smile and an anecdote between the two of us. Let's see if you remember. It was at the gala dinner of the FinTech stage in 2016. Okay?
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember well, but I was actually sitting beside you that evening, but you and I never met. So when I arrived, I was wearing my T-shirt and my sneakers, and you look at me like if I was like one of the bodyguards or something. And that was our first words. And I said, I think that you're thinking that I'm actually a bodyguard or a waiter. And you laughed completely, and then we started speak Italian, you and I, and that's how this that's how you and I started, you know, getting along. Because that dinner was an amazing discussion, and was the first of many more. It is always an episode that I tell with great pride how you and I met. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember very well. And then afterwards, we interacted together on stage. You were asking me questions, a little bit like we do today remote, but it's much more fun to do it in physical presence. So I hope that next time we see each other, Matteo, we can interact on stage like we did back in 2016. That's my wish for 2021.
Same here, Pierre. Thank you very much You have a great rest of the day and keep up with the great work. Thank you very much, Pierre.
Grazie, ci vediamo. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
And it's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to Breaking Banks Europe, a Provoke Media podcast in cooperation with FinTech Stage. Don't forget to tweet us out, shout out, or post to the team at Breaking Banks EU on Twitter. If there's something or someone you'd like to hear on our cast, let us know. See you next week on Breaking Banks Europe.